Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoors, the official podcast of Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. We live by the motto, it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. And we live the outdoor lifestyle every day. Whether you're a landowner or dreaming of joining the ranks of those closest to the earth, we're your brothers and sisters of the outdoors. We hunt, we fish, we're stewards of the land. And our Living the Dream team will show you the way to enjoying the land and all the outdoor pursuits it has to offer. Here's your host, Bill Cooper.
Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Cooper. Boy, I spent an exciting week off Lake of the Ozarks, and I'm looking across the table right here, a dear friend of mine, the Rambling Angler, Mr. Ken McBroom from Kentucky. Wow. Hey, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks.
You were on last year, I think.
Yes, sir.
Where was that? Real Foot Lake,
Real
I think.
Real Foot Lake, yeah.
Yeah, that's where we first met. We kind of hit it off just immediately, man. And you were talking about starting a magazine.
Yeah.
I probably looked at you like you was crazy.
Yeah. Well, I've got three under my belt now this year. I'll have the winter issue out in December.
And that's the Rambling Angler.
Rambling Angler Outdoors.
I think that was the idea that had been floating around your head for a long time.
Yeah, probably since I was 15.
And you're 19 now?
Yeah, I never thought I could do a magazine because I was never going to do the printing and the overhead with the mailing and all that. But with the digital coming into play, I was like, I'm going to do my magazine.
Absolutely. I was just tickled pink. I remember you being so excited about it and talking about it. I kept saying, why don't you do that? Why don't I do that? Then I just want to slid a $20 bill across the table, want to be your first subscriber.
Yep.
You bet. So I'm kind of proud of the Rambling
Angler.
And
you're writing for me, and that's awesome. I got a column for you in the magazine, and that's great.
Oh, absolutely. And man, I got to tell you, I don't think I told you this at the time, but when you were showing me, you know, I think on your phone, the layout of the magazine and some of the photographs you had, man, it just popped.
Well, thanks.
I mean, it was super sharp. And folks, I got to tell you, if you haven't taken a look at the Rambling Angler magazine, you need to do so, because if you're an outdoorsman at all, there's going to be something in that magazine that's going to strike a chord with you.
Yeah, I do a little bit of everything. And so that's just how I've always been. If the bluegill are biting, I'm fishing for bluegill. Catfish are biting, I'm fishing. And then bow season rolls around. I deer hunt in the winter. So I've got a lot of content. I got a lot of new guys that never written before, and that's what I really want to try to get new people that wants to write. So if anybody wants to write, and you know, I've got a couple that's never written, and they've written a couple articles for me, and you know, there might take a little work on it, but you can't get better if you don't try the first article, you know.
So that's exactly right. But that's so cool that you're doing that for new writers, because you know yourself, how many years did it take you after you kind of got the idea and desire that you wanted to be an outdoor writer? How many years did it take you running around in your head and your dream and then all sorts of things?
Well, I was in Alaska working in the bush, so I wrote a lot for myself just for fun. I just love to write. And I was thinking, my wife is the one, and some friends were like, you should submit to a magazine. And I'm like, these guys I'm talking to now, trying to get them to write, oh, I don't think I'm good enough. And not, you know. And so one day at a stoplight, my wife was bugging me, and I said, okay, 18 months. I mean, that was 18 months I give myself to submit my first one. And that's a long ways out. And I think it was 17th month. My wife's like, hey,
it's time.
What's up?
Huh?
And I submitted one, and it got accepted, and I haven't stopped since. I mean,
wow.
I write every
Where'd you
month.
Submit that first article to? You remember?
I guess it was Midwest Outdoors.
Probably.
Yep.
They've been around a long time.
Yeah.
And I think Midwest Outdoors have probably seen their share of new writers over the decades.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have done very well for themselves. So that's a great, great start, man.
Yeah.
I think, golly, probably one of my first ones. I don't probably remember the very first, but one of the first I felt like it really meant something, I sent to the Missouri Conservationist, and they accepted it. And boy, was I ever tickled pink. You know?
Well, actually, I should probably back up, because I did write for other things for about 5 years before I submitted to a magazine. I was writing for some websites, and they kind of got my courage up a little better.
Oh, sure.
They were publishing them, and actually the first one I sent, they put it on their cover of their little online magazine.
Really?
It was Lake Trout in Alaska. Called
Wow.
Lake Trout cheated, on a fly
rod. You cheated, though. You had a great, inspiring world around you, yeah, man.
This was on the New Halem River.
Wow.
Iliamna.
Yeah, wow.
It was great. I love catching them up the young lake trout. They weren't big, but they were the juveniles. But they would take a top water or subsurface fly, and I loved catching them. They didn't fight like a rainbow or nothing. You know, they were kind of the tuggers and like a catfish or something. But they were still fun to catch, and they would come up right behind that fly, and you could watch their mouth coming up behind it. Trying to eat it and watch them do that. And it was great.
Well, I think you had another advantage too, because anybody that's picking up a magazine, if there's any way that they can tell that you were in Alaska at all, but living there and being there for a couple of decades, I mean, that's background enough. You're going to catch anybody's attention, you know, that's an outdoorsman with that kind of introduction. So,
well, the great thing in my magazine, I actually have a section called Alaskan Connection.
Really?
And it's about, because I want to keep connected to Alaska. I still love it, and I'll always love Alaska. And hopefully I'll have me a cabin there. I can go spend a few months anyway in the summer. But I'm on Kentucky Lake, and I love it there too. And
you bet.
You know, and we're settling in pretty much, but I'd love to get away up there. And it may just be a week or two here and there, you know, but.
Sure.
But I miss it a lot.
But, well, kind of a little bit of a comparison at the other end of the world, I guess you'd say. I wrote a column for many, many years called Down Mexico Way. And I had so much fun with that. And, of course, you know how it works. I got published. He mentioned a lot of outfitters and people down in Mexico. And this magazine was coming out of St. Louis and reached a lot of people. So, man, hey. It helped to get more trips to Mexico.
Oh, yeah. That always helps. We will get some trips as a writer.
Oh, absolutely.
Just like this one. That's the first time I've been to Lake of the Ozarks. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I live just an hour and a half from it, and I don't spend a lot of time over here just simply because it is kind of a tourist destination. A lot of homes here, you know, but fabulous, fabulous crappie fishing, as you found out this week. We're going to talk about that just a little bit later. But this is a phenomenal lake, and unusual lake because it was built by a power company, you know, and, of course, they – so once the lake filled and everything, they sold land around the lake. That's why buildings are right up to the edge of the water all around the lake, you know, and lots of beautiful homes here. Great business, brings a lot of money into the Missouri economy. But the fishery is just astounding. And I knew David Stoner, who used to be the Missouri Department of Conservation Fisheries biologist. And I want to say David spent the most of his 30-something year career right here at Lake of the Ozarks. And I remember way back in the day, you know, he was talking about things he was going to do as a biologist. I thought, boy, this guy's head's full of rocks, you know. But he built a tremendous fishery here. And I remember talking to him probably 20, 25 years ago. I used him a lot for Missouri Game and Fish magazine articles. But David explained to me a bit of the biology of the lake. There's just an unusually successful hatch of shad here almost every year. And he explained, too, that the lake, the shad in this lake grow very slowly, which keeps
it's
them
good.
Very good, keeps them small enough for a long time, that up to 2 years or so, that crappie can still eat them.
Yeah.
So if you got that many shad, I don't know what it was like for you this week, but every cove I was in, you just see massive balls of them. Of course, this time of year, everything's feeding up for the winter. And it was all I could do while we sit and crappie fishing. I'm seeing just acres and acres of shad, you know. You think there's any fish under those balls of shad?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there is.
I just want to pick up a big bait caster with a spoon or something, you know.
Yeah.
But I stuck to the crappie fishing. Yeah. Well, actually, I didn't even fish. I was just with the guides that fish, and I never picked up a rod all week.
Really?
I don't know how I kept from it, boy. But so much was going on. I just videoed and took photographs and just had a great, great time, man. But you got the magazine off the ground.
Off the ground.
And close to getting your first year under your belt.
Yep. So I got a few subscribers, so that's great.
So, Mr. Editor, what are you thinking now?
Just improving on it and adding content. I mean, I just a lot of it's my content, and I like to mix it up. And I got several different ones I find that is sending me stuff. And so I'm keeping it mixed up right now. If they'll just keep sending me some, you know.
Material, huh?
Yeah.
So. Okay, well, kind of flip through the magazine for us. What kind of content will we find in the Rambling Angler?
Well, really, it's just, like I say, the seasons. So in the spring, you got red ear, which I'm big into now, there on Kentucky Lake and Barkley Lake. And so there's a lot of red ear and bluegill. And I love the bass fish. Did a little bit here. We'll talk about that maybe in a minute. But got me back fired up about some bass. And there's a lot of bass on Kentucky Lake. So
a lot of bass here.
It's just
Lake
hard
Yoda
to find
too.
Time, you know, to fish for all of them. So, but I also catch catfish when they're moving up shallow. So I'll have catfish articles and bow hunting. And I hunt with a gun now. Didn't hunt for a gun for years and years. And I hunt with a gun now, and I'm enjoying it, actually. It's kind of nice just to pick up a gun and go sit on a log. Oh. And that bow hunting is a lot more work.
So. Well, you sound like me. And when this time of year comes, I just go nuts. I don't know what to do first. So
that's
many seasons
right.
come in.
Spring and fall.
Absolutely. But fall's my absolute favorite. But, of course, it doesn't last long enough, particularly yeah. with all those seasons going on. You know, squirrel season was already in September 15th. Down this was in Missouri. Our archery season started. Gigging season started. You know, and of course, I guess shooting rough fish with a bow, you can do that about all year long in the impoundments. You know, and then, gosh, deer season coming, shotgun yep. turkey season, 1st of October, and just on and on and on. My head just spins sometimes. What
too.
Am I going to do first? And, of course, I love to get out on our Ozark Rivers in the fall when the colors start to hit. And, you know, as you go just a little bit south, I remember a few years ago I was floated for 5 days. The colors were at their peaks, and with a good friend of mine, we'd camped out at Goose Bay on the Current River, just a beautiful, you can't imagine, it was like a wildlife highway, everything. Ducks flew up and down and geese, and we saw ospreys and eagles and beavers, muskrats and otters. And that evening, we were sitting around a campfire. We just finished dinner, and there's a fog drifting across the river, and through the hills and hollows, we heard an elk bugle.
Oh, well.
Man, it just sent cold chills up her spine, you know. And my buddy says, wonder what the rich folks are doing this evening. Now, we hadn't seen a handful of people in a week, man. And there we are way out in the Ozark wilderness. And you look up the sky, it looked like you could just reach out and touch the stars, yeah. you know. Where do you go to get all of that? I mean, the price of admission was pretty cheap.
Right. And the food was good.
Oh, my goodness. Ron Kruger, he's gone now, but he was the best outdoor writer and photographer I ever knew. Just an incredible human being. And it was just a delight to be on the river with him. Probably the last float trip he made, or at least ones we made together. But I did all the cooking, and Ron just loved it. And one morning, I served him cinnamon and apple pancakes, scrambled eggs, and bear steaks, black bear, right on the river.
Wow.
He said, now, this is a first. I've done a lot of things in my lifetime, but it's the first time I've ever had black bear and cinnamon apple pancakes and scrambled eggs.
Man, that sounds good.
Hey, guaranteed to be good. That's gravel bar gourmet here.
I was
know?
Looking. I can't pull it up in here, but I believe that little article, if y'all are fishing for smallmouth with spinnerbaits, is in this issue of the magazine.
You're kidding me.
Current River. I believe it's in this one.
Absolutely. And Kruger was a bit of a scoundrel, you know.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah, next morning, we get up, and it's all foggy and everything, made her coffee and everything. We broke camp down. We shoved off and come up on a big hole, great big rock there, and I had tied a crankbait, crawdad colored crankbait on my rod, and that dude says, I bet you $5 I catch the first fish. He grabs my rod, first cast, gets like 3.5 pound smallmouth, you know. And he said, all right, he wanted his money right there. Give me my $5. I said, no, you stole my rod. That fish only worth 50 cents.
He knew you tied the right thing on.
He did, absolutely. But crankbaits, spinnerbaits, but we caught beaucoups of pretty nice smallmouth on that trip, and I took some incredible photographs, and hopefully you've got some. He had on a red and black plaid jacket, you know. He was quite the outdoor dresser. You know?
I believe I got a steak dinner on a griddle too over the fire.
Oh, there. No doubt. That might have been a bear steak, you know.
It might have been.
Hard to tell, but we had some great, great times together, and I miss him terribly. You know, it's one of those friends that's gone to the big smallmouth in the sky, so to speak. But Ron was an incredible advocate for the outdoors, and he was actually the editor of one of the finest outdoor magazines I ever saw come out of St. Louis. I think the original name was The Hunting and Fishing Guide or something of that order, then eventually turned into the Outdoor Guide magazine. And even that has gone by the wayside now, I think.
A lot of things are.
Breaks my heart.
People need to kind of keep it alive. That's what I'm trying to do. Both keeping people in the outdoors and keeping the writing and the content, because if that dies off, I mean, what's going to be left? There's nobody to, promote it and keep it going for the young people.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take just a short break here, folks. I hope you've enjoyed this first part of the program, but don't go away. Kim and Broom, and I'll be right back with some more Tall Tales.
Hi, I'm Steve Stoltz with Drury Outdoors, and you're listening to Living the Dream Outdoors Podcast with Phil Cooper and Hunter Heineman.
Hey, this is John from CoAngler.com. Did you know that CoAngler.com is the newest online platform to connect anglers for fishing trips? You can create your free account, offer and request fishing trips, connect with anglers in your area, share some costs, share some knowledge, and share a great time in the outdoors. Whether you're fishing from a boat and you got an extra seat and want somebody to come with you, or you need some help shuttling those kayaks for your next float trip, CoAngler is a great way to connect with like-minded anglers in your area for a great time out on the water. So get on CoAngler.com and let's go fishing.
Hey everyone, this is Michael Collins with Misty Mountains Guiding Service. I'm here to talk to you a little bit about what we offer. Misty Mountains is a smallmouth and trout-specific guiding service that caters to the Northern Ozarks region. My areas include the Upper Merrimack River, the Gasconade, and a few smaller creeks in the Mid-Missouri area. Whether you enjoy casting streamers to bass, drifting a dry fly, or ripping lips with spinning gear, I've got you covered. Fishing is made easy in my state-of-the-art drift boat raft. I control the boat with ease while you or yourself and a buddy do all the work at catching fish. Besides a great day on the water, I provide all needed gear, a delicious shore lunch, and as much fishing knowledge as you can carry with you on the way home. Spots for the 2024 season are going fast. Give me a call or text today to get your trip booked. My number is 573-823-9057. Find me on Facebook and Instagram at Misty Mountains Guiding Service. It's always an adventure with Misty Mountains.
Hey everybody, this is Alex Rutledge with American Roots Outdoors. Check out my buddy's podcast show, Living the Dream Outdoors with Bill Cooper and Hunter Heineman. You're really going to enjoy this week's show.
Welcome back to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Cooper, and I'm talking to Kim McBroom. He has the Rambling Angler magazine online, up to date.
Digital.
Yeah. Great.
To your great inbox.
Hey, we need subscribers. Right off the bat here, Ken, how would they do that?
You just search Rambling Angler Outdoors, and you'll either get my website or the magazine. If you put magazine in there, it should come up on Google. And you can get there from ramblingangler.com. And my store is ramblingangler.shopify. But there's links on my website, and you can look at my content on my website and see what all, you know, would be in the magazine. It's kind of similar. And you can reach the magazine there. And then, it's just a product on my store. Being digital, it automatically puts you in a list. So when I send out the password and the, link each issue, you get it, you open the link and put the password in, and you get to view all the magazines for that year. So if you join in December, you get all of them.
Well, that's a good deal, but guarantee if you're an outdoorsman, you're going to love this magazine. The photography is sharp. The articles are great. Good variety. So help us out.
Yeah.
We're begging.
It's $20 a year. It's a subscription base because I didn't want to do a lot of advertising. So many magazines are full of advertising, and I know that's a good way to make money, but I would rather just focus on the content and do a little hunting and fishing and bring it to you that way. And I advertise a little bit of my products because that's how I'm paying for the magazine. So yeah. There's a few little articles, but it's not inside the article. So when you read an article, it's straight through the whole article. There's no continued on page, nothing. It's just the whole article.
Well, that just sweetens the deal because we all get just bombarded by advertising all the time, and we all kind of get tired of it, you know. So, hey, something fresh and new here in a great little magazine. Well, Ken, we've had a great week over here at Lake of the Ozarks at the 2024 Lake of the Ozarks camp, and it's been it was called a catch,
cook, and clean.
Catch, clean, and cook.
Yeah, that's the order.
It was pretty interesting. I've never been to an event quite like this before. Good old Mike Jones out of Mississippi put this together with the help of Brad Wigman. He's a writer, photographer extraordinaire out of Arkansas, and these guys did a great, great job of putting this little event together. But we got people from like 14 states here. Got, I think, about 8 outdoor riders. We got quite a few products people, fishing guides. It's a pretty good mixture, but some unusual things going on here. You won a fish cleaning contest.
Yeah, I did.
Of all things.
I wasn't even going to get in the fish cleaning. I didn't think I could compete, to be honest. It was with a regular fillet knife, and I haven't used a regular fillet knife in years, although I have cleaned 2 or 3 here and there when I just catch a couple for dinner with a regular fillet knife. But I just, I thought, I can't compete, but they wanted me to participate, and I didn't want to be a fuddy dud. So yeah. I went over there and said, okay, I'll clean it, and then I won it. So
unreal. But they also had a cooking competition. You fared pretty well there, too.
I got second.
Yeah. Yeah.
And got a nice fryer for it. So well, I got a fryer for my fish. Say,
yeah. I got to be one of the judges in that second day event. They actually did that for 2 days. Man, I'm telling you, just some fabulous, fabulous food. And your product yesterday was called a fish popper or what?
What? The
fish you cooked.
It was just crappie in my fish batter. Top secret. I had top secret. Everybody was making fun of me because but it really is because I'm thinking down the line of selling this batter. And it's really good. You can mix beer with it and make a beer batter or do it dry. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make one package. You do whatever you want. And
yeah.
And I like to mix it up too. So even sometimes I do a beer batter in a dry breading on it, and you just do it right there in one package. So
yeah. Well, it was extremely good. But boy, Mike Jones threw you guys a real curve today. Tell us what happened there. I've never seen anything like that.
They said we had to deep fry pork ribs, and I've never had done that, and we had to use some seasonings that I wasn't familiar with, so I threw it to it, and I got second place, so I'm not sure how my pork ribs did. I didn't stick around. I didn't want to get my feelings hurt, but yeah. Maybe it did okay. I don't know, but we had a lot of seasoning sponsors, and we used their seasonings, but I mean, it looked all right, and some people said they loved it that way, deep-fried pork ribs.
It was a little different with all those seasonings. It came out pretty dark,
Yeah.
But, boy, the taste was there.
Well, I thought mine was burnt, and I checked it with my meat probe. It was 93 degrees. And I was like, well, that ain't burnt.
Yeah, exactly. That was just the seasonings. But, boy, we had a great meal there, and you guys did win some pretty nice prizes. And tomorrow we've got another competition coming up, a jig tying contest. Have you ever been to a jig tying contest?
I've never been to a jig tying contest, but I've tied my share of jigs.
The problem
with this competition is they're telling us what we got to tie, so it ain't nothing familiar. We're not tying what we know.
I see.
They're telling us what we got to use and the type of jig, and so they're going to be grading the body sizes being as close to identical as possible, and that's part of the grading part of it, and I guess the look of it too,
Yeah,
a lot of variables in there for the way they're judging it. So I'm I'm going to kind of wing that too. I got one jig. I did practice one jig and it looks cool. So, I mean, that's about, hopefully I can wing the other three and yeah. do okay. But
well, you got some pretty good competition there. This yeah. Young man showed up from Oklahoma today. He's what, 14 years old?
Yeah.
Easton, what was Easton's last name? You remember?
No, I don't even know if I got it. We got on to the Easton Arrows. And
yeah, but Easton.
He's a bow hunter.
Easton's got his sights on you older guys.
Oh, yeah.
I think
yeah.
you're going to have some real competition.
That's good, though, to see them young guys even wanting to do stuff like this.
I know, and I sat and talked to him for a long time, him and his mom, and I thought, you know, talking to him, I'm going to make him nervous and everything. He just kept talking just like talking to an adult, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
He's been doing this for a while, and I think he's locked and loaded and ready to get yeah. after you guys.
Well, that's one of the things about outdoors. You know, Juliana is that her name.
Yeah.
She has a different sort of following. She didn't know it was all outdoors like this, and she came. She was really nervous, and she found out how everybody was so open and nice and helping her. And she's like, I kind of like outdoors a little bit, you know, that was pretty neat. She was telling me that earlier, but,
yeah,
she's bow fishing tonight with them.
That's awesome. I don't think that young lady had fished a lot. She flayed her first fish. I don't think she'd ever done that.
She
before.
Never done that. She had to go to the store and buy some clothes to fish in. She told me, yeah. So she,
that's funny.
Yeah, she said that she didn't know it was going to be this outdoorsy, you know. And
right.
What so she's having a blast, though. Her mom is, too.
Oh, yeah. But like you said, everybody just took her under their wings.
Yeah.
And that's what it is, this outdoor industry.
That's
people
right.
that love the outdoors, they love to pass on that tradition and teach other people their, you know, a few outdoor skills to help
yeah.
get them started. Well, let's talk about the fishing this week a little bit. You know, I say I fished. I got in a boat with a lot of different people. I never picked up a rod because I was so – I've been doing this for a long time, man. And it's fascinating to me to meet new people and see how they do things. And I tell people all the time, they probably get tired of hearing me saying it on a podcast, but if you're taking a vacation, taking a family – hey, Lake of the Ozarks, for example,
yeah.
a lot of things to do around here. But you want to spend one day fishing, you want your kids to catch some fish, hire a guide because, you know
yeah. –
it's a 65,000-acre lake, I think, and many hundreds and hundreds of miles of shoreline. And you look at that, and you're not a fisherman as such. You don't even know where to start.
Right.
And
I wouldn't know where to start, and I fish.
Yeah, yeah. But for a family situation, you know, it can really be exasperating because you just don't know what to do. Hire that guide. Even if you're going to fish 3 or 4 days, takes a lot of years off the learning curve, man. It's well worth the money.
Yeah.
They want to put you on fish, and they really want to see those kids catch fish.
Yeah.
But we went out with a variety of guides, and, of course, crappie was the main target. But I saw a lot of other species caught. Yesterday morning, I was in the boat with Frank Hadashek, and this dude caught a 40-pound flathead on a crappie rod. Now, that was something to watch. I filmed the whole process, kind of like catching a shark on a fly rod. And he was just stuck at first, and he thought he was stuck on a tree or something. And he's watching his live scope there. This thing moves. You know? So, and he just could not get it up over the bottom for the longest. I'm talking 20-minute battle here, you know. And when it finally got up close enough to the surface, I could see a little bit. I thought it was like a 40-pound carp at first, you know, kind
yeah.
of that gold color.
Yeah.
But, boy, and then I kept thinking, you know, it's just impossible. He's handling this big fish on a crappie rod. I mean, it's an 18-foot rod or something. But it turned out he had a big jig on with a salmon hook in it. So it was very strong. I mean, big fish, if you hooked on a crappie jig, it straightened your hook out.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
what I was expecting to happen, but
yeah.
never happened. Made some awesome photographs. It was a good time. But I fished with other folks, fished with a young couple today who, man, caught several nice bass on crappie jigs. And the young lady, she changed her jig 3 or 4 times. She'd catch bass, you know. And they'd see the schools of crappie she'd be working in, but she'd go to sling that jig in a bass and chase it.
Oh, yeah.
That's how she was catching them. But I understand you caught a pretty nice bass. You've had a heck of a week.
Yeah.
This morning on topwater.
Yeah. They're moving back in the bays a little bit, and I bass fished tournament bass fish for many years. And I love bass fishing, but I hadn't done it in a couple years very much. I did fish Paralyzed Veterans Tournament, did pretty well there. And first time I'd fished in 2 years there. And then here I went out with Harvey Horn. He's been an Elite Series angler and a good bass fisherman. And I caught a four. He said it was 5 pounds. I'll say 4.5.
I just said 6.
Okay. I don't know. I don't like to. They look at them pictures, and I don't want them thinking I'm fudging on them. But it's a good bass, I'll tell you that. Especially if you hadn't fished in a while, and it's top water. So the shad are moving back shallow. It ain't on fire. We caught several bass, maybe 10 or 12 total, a couple good ones, but the biggest one on that top water, and I love top water in the fall, and I want to go back home and hit that Kentucky lake with that Zara Spook now and do some more bass fishing.
Cause nothing more fun getting those bass.
He got the fire lit under me to do a little more bass fishing, and it's just time, you know. It's hard to get enough time to do everything. And
I hear you, man. But Tim Ponder, I was out with him this morning. He just announced right off bat, I'm going to go catch some black crappie. Went right to a point, worked it back and forth, and man, he clobbered some pretty nice black crappies this morning. And I've never heard this before. Now, he's pretty local, just from Iberia, about 30 miles away, so he grew up fishing Lake of the Ozarks, and he claims he'd rather catch black crappie as white crappie. He claims they fight harder, and they're prettier, and just on and on and on.
He's I'm a black crappie guy.
There you go.
I love them.
Okay. So, I thought I was going to spend the afternoon with him, too, but got moved and fished with somebody else. But Tim went out, took somebody else out in the afternoon, came back with some pretty nice blue catfish. He loves to catfish, too, man. So, hey, we saw quite a variety this week. Saw a number of drum caught, a lot of drum, Lake of the Ozarks. You know, they're not the popular game fish, but, boy, they can really fight.
Yeah, they do. I catch a lot on Kentucky Lake.
Boy, oh, boy. Well, what a great weekend. Congrats to Mike Jones for a successful event. His sidekick helped him out. Miss Judy, you know, real busy, too. Brad's wife, everywhere she goes. And, you know, those guys are so busy in the outdoor industry. I think they were at a tournament before this one. As soon as this is over, they're leaving down to Bass Pro. He's the official photographer for the Bass Pro Fishing Hall of Fame right there at Bass Pro Shops. They're going to be inducting a bunch of people. So, hey, kudos to them for the fine job that they do in the outdoor industry, man. Well, once again, Ken, tell people how they can get that magazine you're producing, the Rambling Angler.
RamblingAngler.com. And it's on my homepage. I got a video I made with some of my bear and salmon and all the things I've done over the years to kind of get you excited about it. Because, like I say, I write something about Alaska every issue. So, and I remember I used to read magazines that had Alaska in it, because I was always interested in going when I was little kid, you know.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to put that in there, that for me as much as anybody else, but a lot of people like to read about those adventures. And hey, you can get up there. It's not as expensive as you think if you do it right and read some of my articles and learn about some of those fish that isn't the tourist trap fish. You know, the right. Salmon and things are great, but the grayling and the rainbow trout, the cutthroats, there's so many offshoots that you can get away from the crowd and not spend a lot of money and have a blast. And
I'm ready to go. That's
mainly what's going to be in there, because when the people showed up, I went to the backwaters and float tubed and waded little creeks and had a ball. So,
oh, absolutely. But again, a great, great outdoor magazine. Be sure and take a look at it and buy it this month. Because my photo was on the cover, right?
No, that was last issue. There's a new one
you know.
There's
wouldn't
a new
you know.
One.
Yeah. Oh, well. So much for that idea.
But I have your issue in print. I'm going to show you here in a minute. But I printed one out, and it looks pretty neat. So
Cool deal. Well, Ken, man, it's been a blast to have you on the program again. I hope you won't be a stranger. But, folks, from Kim Broom and myself, Bill Cooper, we are living our outdoor dreams.
That's right.
We encourage you to get in the outdoors and live your dreams as well. I'm Bill Cooper.
Captain Brian Wilson runs one of the tightest bow fishing operations in the business. Stainwater Bow Fishing operates out of Jerome, Missouri, and the beautiful Missouri Ozarks. They cover most Ozark streams and lakes. You haven't lived until you've searched Ozark waters during the night with Stainwater Bow Fishing while looking for giant gar, carp, and buffalo. Captain Wilson also runs a second boat on Taneycomo Lake. Call today to book a trip with Stainwater Bow Fishing at 573-263-8016. Again, that's 573-263-8016. Be sure and shoot straight.
The Living the Dream Outdoors podcast is brought to you by Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, The Fly Rod Journals, SmokerBuilder.com, Cowtown USA, Westover Farms, Scenic Rivers Taxidermy, Stained Water Bow Fishing, Scenic Rivers Guide Service and Tours, Huzzah Valley Resort, Pico Lures, Devil's Backbone Outfitters, The Fallen Outdoors, Ledco Sinkers and Lure Company, Turnbow Outdoors, J&J Charters, Kaufman Cove, Alaska, Big Ed's Guide Service, Bean Creek Game Calls, Misty Mountain Guide Service, ASO Guides and Outfitters with Ryan Walker, On the Hook TV, Expedition Trailers, The Rambling Angler, Spare Rib Inn in Steelville, Missouri, and Rich's Famous Burgers.
Land ownership is the American dream. Land is the basis of all life. Our wise use of this most precious of resources ensures the survival and growth of free institutions and our American way of life. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we value the traditions and freedoms that land provides us. Every day we seek the solace of a mountain sunrise over traffic jams and smog, the calming silence of a bubbling stream over the sirens of the city, and the quiet of the countryside over the hustle and bustle of the world. We hunt, we fish, we farm. We live off the land. It's our mission to help our clients live out their dreams on the land as we do. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we believe that it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. Join us 5 days a week on Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast as the Living the Dream Outdoor Dream Team explores the most desired outdoor properties in the Midwest and whisks you away to incredible hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation opportunities. Host Bill Cooper, an inductee of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, will be joined by members of the Living the Dream Outdoors team each week as they tell tall tales, unveil tips and tactics, and rub elbows with some of the biggest names in the outdoor world. You'll also find the Living the Dream Outdoors podcast on your favorite social media platforms, including Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.